Blog Talk Radio.
A dash of cayenne to the roux. Gonna put on my grease suit. Boil a gumbo, hot and steady. Don't care if Freddy ready. Gone free at that old cemetery, down on Cleburne where she's buried. Build a fire on the bayou when a black cat scratch at two under a full moon that's blue. Chant the magic words, Kufaru. A dash of cayenne to the roux. Gonna put on my grease suit. Black top hat, black suit too, same old rod that Moses threw. I'm gonna get them bones out the graveyard for you. Can't see my eyes, black shades too. A dash of cayenne to the roux. Gonna put on my grease suit. Black top hat, black suit too, same old rod that Moses threw. I'm gonna get them bones out the graveyard for you. Can't see my eyes, black shades too. Going pray at the old cemetery, down on Cleburne where she's buried. A dash of cayenne to the roof, gonna put on my grease suit. Yeah. Black top hat, black suit too, same old ride that Moses threw. I'm gonna get them bones out the graveyard for you. Can't see my eyes, black shades too. Gonna pray at that old cemetery, down on Cleburne where she's buried. A dash of cayenne to the roux. Gonna put on my grease suit.
Divine, all blessed, peace and love, joy and prosperity, revelation, elevation, and manifestation. You are now listening live to the Divine Prince. Olodi, the scourge of the town. Olofa, the arrow shooter. Afi Allah's Bongo, Daju Ijaru, user of baton to cause more confusion. Listen and you shall hear me in the wind. No, it is my thunder that gives a warning in the dark. Do not dare deny me through false tongue, my daughters. Do not anger me with fences of blindness, for you must run wild and free of injustice to celebrate me, and it is you who must call forth the storm of change. You are listening live and always in archive at your leisure and convenience. To the Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist, practitioner, author, advisor, Elagun, Oloye, Hudu, Obeya, Bokur, sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, evolutionary, revolutionary, cosmic, universal healing and holistic from a pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective. Understanding all is truly and indeed a blessing if you can just see beyond the veils, for it is all just an illusion and a test, and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and my ever-living reality. It is crucial to the very foundation of my very being, my walk, my works, my demonstration along this divine, all-blessed life path and journey. It is how I, the divine prince, make sense out of all that we're challenged with here in our daily existence. And so it is my personal place of power and understanding, that place for where I begin and realize and crystallize all things, understanding that I and I alone create and co-create my divine, all-blessed destiny and my reality. Today is Friday, January 11th, 2019. I am emanating and vibrating with you and for you live, along with my very special featured co-host, Awo Baba Ojolola Fa Sakin. We are broadcasting live, virtually, verbally, cosmically, quantum universally from this working temple of the House of the Divine Prince, Type Oceans, Hoodoo Central, Black Hawk Voodoo, legendary, historic, beautiful, and enchanted city of New Orleans, Louisiana. And Baba is broadcasting from Augusta, Georgia, here in this dirty, dirty South, as they say, the land of my ancestors and those who came before us along this spiritualist hoodoo, Ifa, Obeya, life path and journey, passing down the great power, knowledge, healing, herbs, roots, plants, rituals, spirits, and minerals of these sacred traditions. We invite you to continue to join us in this sacred space at high noon, U.S. Central Standard Time, here on blogtalkradio.com/the-divine-prince. Please do call us now at area code 347-215-8967 with your questions, comments, or requests. Area code 347-215-8967. Press the number 1 and we'll invite you into the conversation. And be mindful, my website is www.houseofthedivineprince.com. I am a result-oriented practitioner. I am available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. I am prolific. I am sought after. I am desired. I am the leader and king of New Orleans voodoo. I am on TV in both America and the UK. I am global. Yes, I ask that you establish an appointment by sending me an email to Divine Prince at houseofthedivineprince.com. Divine is D-I-V-I-N-E. I don't know where y'all get those extra E's from. It's D-I-V-I-N-E-P-R-I-N-C-E. All is truly and indeed a blessing. And, of course, we are going to not only continue our conversation on yesterday, we started a conversation about psychics and myths, and the myths propagated around psychics and sometimes by psychics, but at a much greater scale, we were talking about spiritual gifts, spiritual power, spiritual tools. Here in America, we have a fascination at the pop cultural level, and indeed it is much deeper, but at the pop cultural level, it shows up in our news, our magazines, our movies, our film, our literature, our books, and we have a fascination with spiritual power. We had a fascination in the early 1900s with seances and invoking the dead and rappings and tappings and ectoplasm and all that sort of stuff. We have a fascination in our community with African-based systems. We glorify and romance ancient. We are now glorifying and romancing Yoruba. We love the look of spirituality. We love the look and the feel and the taste and the smell of spirituality. But how many of us are operating authentically, stepping into, have a real clear understanding of the spiritual power, the spiritual gift, the connection to the divine, the connection to the ancestors, the connection to the realms beyond the fourth and the fifth dimension, if you will, for us. We not only bastardize and appropriate and commercialize that at the pop cultural level here in the West. We see the Wicked Witch of the West. We see the psychic blonde, blue-eyed woman with the crystal ball foretelling your future, if you will. And now we're beginning to see, you know, instantaneous tarot card experts, instantaneous rune experts, instantaneous masters of ATR and tradition. And it's not just America. We look at South Africa, the witch doctor, in Yanga, in Sangoma. The witch doctor may be one of the most ubiquitous depictions of placing behind wicked witches and those, you know, in Harry Potter. But the thing is, we overlook the true essence, the true nature of, the true power behind these images. And so we latch on to the magic. We latch on to what's instantaneous and flashing lights and whistles. And we get all labeled as witch. We get all labeled as pagan. We get all labeled as somehow new age. We get all labeled as somehow alternative. And in that environment, there are no rules. No rules. And we live in a thirsty society, and I'm talking emotionally, spiritually, therapeutically, where people are indeed fleeing organized, so-called organized religions, and are seeking quote-unquote spirituality. But there's no real conversation about the spirit power. Yesterday, Baba Fafa Ken introduced a conversation about authentic performance of Oju and Ifa divination. And in our private time, we talked more about the spirit gift behind that. We can learn to count. You can learn to palm nuts. You can learn to throw shells. You can learn to throw over, turn over tarot cards. But there is no real system, if you will, overt system of validating the performance of these practitioners. Save practitioners such as myself and others that have public documented records, places where people can leave 5, 4, 3, 2, 1-star ratings and detailed comments about your work. We see psychics on TV working with the police department to solve cases and things of that nature, and there then becomes, in the new environment of technology, a means of creating documentation, a footprint of the validation of these practitioners. Baba, I'm going to open and let you in. Just give me one more second, okay? I want to bring up the witch hunts in West Africa, in Ghana. We also have an obsession in Western culture with accents, ethnicity. And so we see anything outside of the confines of America as somehow more authentic than us, somehow more spiritual than us, somehow more connected to the root than us. And while witch hunts largely ended in Europe, supposedly in the 18th century, in some parts of the world, women continue to be banished as they are suspected of having supernatural powers. Recently, Ghana took a step forward to abolish this practice. In West African country of Ghana, nearly 1,000 women and 500 children are in the process of being released from 6 witch camps in the country's northern region. The witch camps were established nearly 100 years ago to provide a place of refuge for women who were made the scapegoats for tragedies such as famine, sickness and illness, disease. The women accused in the witch trials here in colonial America, these women were discriminated against in society, riddled by mass panic, While the camps provided a safe haven for the women and their children, they also lacked fundamental necessities like electricity, running water. After camps were closed in December 2014, the women banished in these areas now struggle to become reintegrated into society and reunited with their families after decades of persecution and discrimination. And there are many such stories. I don't want to waste a whole lot more time on giving you detailed stories, but we can look to places like Chile and the Calcu, the Philippines, and the Manga Kumglam, the West Indies and Obia, Mexico, La Santa Muerte, which is the spirit of the dead and the spirit of death, which has been now integrated into pop culture through the drug trade. And you can watch police shows, and they're looking for particular statuary deities that for them suggest that these people might be serving, pleasing, appeasing the spirit of muerte, of death, in a way of covering, gaining protection and escape for their drug trafficking and their illegal activities. Baba Aburu Aboye Aboshise.
Ako ato asuru iwori wofu. This is Awo Jalola Johnny Fashakin coming to you live in Augusta, Georgia. I give thanks to all of the Bari, thanks to Ifa and all of Risha Olorumale, my ancestors in Igbe, and the great mothers. I pray that we all have long life, good health, good spouses and good children, good homes and good businesses, and that we have peace, love, harmony, happiness, and abundant prosperity. And I pray that we have victory over all enemies and all adversity, and that we have great blessings in life. Ashe. I also want to give thanks to you, Divine Prince Tiameka, that for hosting this show and continuing to do the work, continuing to spread the word of African spirituality. Yesterday, we left off when we started to talk about Oso and Iami. And Oso is the wizards or the male counterpart of what's commonly called witches. And Iami or Aje is the powerful mothers, or as I said, witches, which is actually a misnomer, because the idea of witches brings to mind really terrible things, bad things, and that's not what witches are about.
Yeah.
Witches can wreak havoc, but their purpose is far beyond that. Women in general have a greater aptitude toward spiritual power. I'm not talking about being initiated into something or anything, just an innate power that they have. It's not to say that men don't have it, it's just that it's not as common in men.
Mm-hmm.
And for the men that do have it, as I said, those are called also. People who have this power, a lot of them don't exercise it. A lot of them are afraid of it. They're afraid of their own power. And this fear of it really comes from Christianity.
Yeah.
Because we are taught in Christianity that these things, these powers, are from the devil. First of all, in African belief, there is no devil. So to say that something comes from the devil is basically pulling it out of the crack of your butt. it has no validity. Second, powers that you have naturally are really, they're from God. They're from nature. And they are not evil at all.
Well, the premise is that not only is that they're evil, but then that they're also dangerous. So before you move on, I want to ask you the question then. Okay, so we understand there's no devil in African culture. For the Western ear, that erases the probability of evil. Now, can you go a little bit more into the presence of evil in West African culture, even though we don't necessarily identify the devil, and then how that then also is a part of the scapegoating, primarily by Christians and Muslims, for the whole concept of witch as an overlay over any sort of manifestation of a spiritual gift that's not done in a temple or a church.
The absence of a devil does not equate to the absence of evil.
That's right.
Evil
that's
and
right.
good are potentials within every person.
Yeah.
And you make a choice, a conscious choice, as to whether you are going to act in good or in evil. People make these choices every day, even though they may not think of it as, okay, I'm going to be evil today, or I'm going to be evil toward this person. They may not think that, but they think about what they're going to do, and they make a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And this potential we all have, and the thing is, we all have to control these potentials, and we all have to decide what we're going to do and how we're going to do it.
So then, do you believe that my apologies for interrupting. So then, are you suggesting that all spiritual gifts, spiritual powers, if you will, emanate just from nature? Or is there indeed some, if not divine, some otherworldly intervention in terms of our spiritual gifts?
That's a very good question. And the thing is, it's really both. because a person who has these strong spiritual gifts, right, they may often be assisted by the spiritual entities, meaning that a woman who is in Iyami or Ajé, and she, goes about doing whatever she wants to do, whether it's good or bad, she may be assisted by the spirit world. So then it is both her nature
and also the spirit world of divine entities that contribute to what she does.
And so let me ask you then.
Man.
Okay, so add a little bit more color to this. So then, does evil exist in nature, or are there spirit entities in your understanding of Ifa that exist, that influence not just people in general, but even more so spirit workers, people who claim to work in spirit?
Let me be sure that I'm understanding your question right. You're saying in nature itself, does evil exist?
Well, I'm saying that in your opinion, you've established that there's no devil in Ifa. And so then I moved into, okay, the existence of evil. So is evil something that exists in nature, for instance, human nature, or are there, following your storyline, the spirit entities that can influence humanity, does evil exist there?
Evil does exist, but evil
and
is
particularly
potential.
When we're talking about spirit workers and spirit practitioners.
Evil is a potential, just as good is a potential, and it exists both in spirit world and our human world. As I said, there's a choice to be made every day, every minute of every day, as to how we're going to act. And that choice is good or evil. We have to make the choice as to how we are going to act, how we are going to serve. And our choices be supported also by the spirit world. So that if I choose to, let's say, curse someone, there is going to be some support somewhere in the spirit world for me cursing that person, because that evil potential does exist. At the same time, if I choose to be helpful towards someone, do some good, there's going to be support from the spirit world to do that as well, because that good potential exists both in me and in the spirit world.
I like how you say that. I really do. I like how you put your ideas together in that. Because in my world, in terms of voodoo, you really can't curse someone unless there's curseable energy present, unless they have that evil, that negativity, that dirty energy, if you will, already present in the scenario, and then that also has to be consciously at some level directed at you. And so without that, you cannot effectively curse someone who's done you no evil and does not possess evil. I also like the idea of whatever we send out into the universe is mirrored back. And that's all humanity, not just spirit workers and practitioners. Whatever you project into the universe, whether it's your thoughts, what you say, your energy, how you treat people, you're telling the universe how to respond back to you. So if I bless you, if I supposedly curse you, I also have to absorb that energy. And so a person who's dirty themselves, who's done evil themselves, who's curseable themselves, attempting to work a curse on the next person only doubles that return of energy back upon themselves. And so you, in my opinion, you said just that, but you said it in a much more diplomatic and less words than I did.
I like to be effective with my words. So like I was saying, the potential is there both in the spirit world and within the person. And whatever you do is going to be supported one way or the other. If you want to do negativity, that negativity is going to be supported. If you want to do good, that good is going to be supported. And also,
yeah,
like you said, what you put out, you receive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes a lot of people think, you know, well, this person is doing all this evil. I don't see anything happening to them. All right. What you don't see is not necessarily something not happening.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If you don't see a person who's acting evil most of the time, if you don't see them suffering in some way, that doesn't mean they're not suffering.
Right? That's right.
This person may seem to be doing well, but they may be extremely lonely. They may be miserable. And they may be physically sick.
They might be in bankruptcy. Their children might be in jail.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And their misery can be a result of what they're doing.
So is energy in your opinion, and of course your opinion is often going to reflect Ifa. So
right.
Is evil and spirit, is that a free form thing? Or entity in both nature and the spirit realm. We've established that it exists in both nature and the spirit realm. And as it relates to the spiritualist, the practitioner, the reader, if you will, is it something then that we pull from nature and pull from spirit, or is there indeed a source for good and a source for evil? And one more question, does the practitioner, are they required in any way to acknowledge the source in doing so? So an example for that is, can anybody, without spirit intervention, pick up tarot cards, pick up palm nuts, pick up shells, and truly say that they are giving you a qualified reading? Which we understand a reading requires some level of spirit intervention without being connected to a source.
I would say unequivocally, no. There are lots of people who claim to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
unless you have been properly initiated or indoctrinated into whatever practice that is that you're doing, it's not going to be right. And even people who have been initiated, if they don't, practice properly, if they just skim over things, what they do is not going to be proper either. Right? You have to follow proper protocol. You have to engage in proper ritual in order to be effective. You know, there are some things that you don't need initiation for that you can do very effectively. There are psychic readers out there who are very good. They've never been initiated to anything, all right? It's just an innate ability that they have, all right? But when they go ahead and practice their psychic abilities, all right, they can't just skim over. They have to take it seriously and deliver it seriously.
Well, they have to have training. They have to have instruction. I can accept not being initiated. Again, I believe, and there are stories within both Ifa and Voodoo that suggest a person can be taught, can be initiated by the ancestors. But in no way does that suggest easy. In the Western mindset, oh, that means easy, that means instantaneous, that means I was born with it and I can just jump out there on a stage and do it and perform it and sing it and dance it and play it. And it absolutely requires an initiation. An initiation. It may not be the Ifa initiation. It may not be the Lokomi. It might not be the, you know, Kandable initiation. But you indeed are going to be initiated and you're going to be tested. And so
exactly.
That was sort of pregnant in some of the statements that I made earlier about the origin of spirit, the origin of good and evil. Is it a free form energy? We see that in biology. We all have certain diseases. We all have certain viruses that are in our bodies because we're human, that aren't alive, that aren't killing us, that aren't doing anything until something either in your diet or in your lifestyle or in your genetics turns that thing on, and then it becomes problematic. So that's what I mean when I say, is spirit, particularly when we're talking about practitioners who are said to be, in my mind, calling spirit into the tool. You aren't just laying down a tarot card. You are inviting spirit interaction, both on that table between you and that client, and within yourself. And as Baba said, anything that you do, left-handed or right, to heal or to curse, across that table or in your, you know, so-called sacred space, anything that you do there not only affects the target, because many of our listeners are operating in terms of the target. He did this to me. She did that to me. I want so-and-so back, even though they're not ready to be back. I need them to be back right now and in this moment. You know, sort of as witchcraft, European witchcraft suggests, invoking spirits, demons, jinn, and then binding them for your control. And that within itself is an illusion, not a Christian illusion. It's a universal illusion. That you can bind a devil, a jinn, a spirit, to do your bid and not have it affect you in some way, not have you ultimately pay a tax in some way. When we look at Hollywood and the green old hag witch, there's a symbolism there that's not talked about. And that symbolism is every time she worked a ritual, every time she did a spell, every time she tried to control something that wasn't meant to be controlled. I think in Ifa we seek balance. In Voodoo we seek balance. Witchcraft does not suggest balance. It suggests me, myself, and I personal empowerment. Do as I want to do. Do as I will. So that's why I question, do people understand what spirit is? Whether it's spirit in a divination, whether it's spirit speaking to you in a dream, whether it's spirit, you know, interceding in our lives in some kind of miraculous way, do we see that as a free-form energy that you call to yourself or you were blessed to have upon yourself or is invoked upon yourself, or indeed is there a source? And we don't have to talk about religion. I don't mean God or Yahweh or Allah or Olodumare or Mawolisa, but universally, is there a source? And do we, as practitioners, pronounced public, proclaimed practitioners, asking people to seek us for our service, asking people to pay us for our service, do we indeed hold any obligation to a force, a power, an energy beyond ourselves? Now, I know I can assume, Baba, your answer is yes. Clearly, my answer is yes. But I wonder, do some of our listeners, do they even have a clear response for that? And I invite you all to call in. We want to have these discussions. We want to have these type of communication for the sake of empowerment, but also understanding. I believe that there's a source, there's a power that has to be acknowledged. We're taught how to acknowledge it in initiation. We're taught how to acknowledge it in instruction. Just like chemistry, before you start mixing stuff up, you got to sit through some classes and learn some math and learn some basic interactions of certain elements and chemicals that are any degree of safe to extremely hazardous. But we can't just walk in there and throw some titanium and other stuff together and think we're not going to kill ourselves, if not our, that neighborhood. And I see spirituality, spiritual power, spiritual gifts at that level of seriousness. If indeed you have the power to see into the future, to really have a connection to a person's health, to speak to that, to a person's, you know, incarcerated son, and then truly speak power to that, you've got to be drawing that information from somewhere. Do you agree with that, Baba?
I agree. See, you mentioned calling on a spiritual source. And in Ifa, when we sit down to do divination, we don't just go ahead and throw the opele or pound the keen, right? At first, we pray.
Yeah.
We pray for approval from Olodumare for all that we are about to do. We pray for Ifa to guide us and give us the proper messages. We pray for Eshu to deliver the messages clearly, concisely. We pray for our ancestors and all the Orisha and all the Awanhu to help us in what we're doing so that it be done properly and be effective. So we always call on a source or sources to enable us to properly do what we set out to do. Without that, it's not going to be done properly. We have to call on the appropriate forces or forces and sources to help us. That's essential to what we do.
Because now, it can both help and hurt not only the client but the diviner, the reader.
Exactly.
Because
if the diviner is continuing to do things without the proper spiritual approval, proper spiritual support, and claiming that he's got some power himself and maybe feels he doesn't need all of that. He's spelling doom for himself as well as his clients.
Because that energy has to go somewhere.